down, Hebrews chapter 12, begin with verse 1. It says, let us, this is what a good picture of, a good definition of Encounter Weekend. If you're wondering, well, why should I go through Encounter Weekend? Let me tell you why you should go through Encounter Weekend. I have no idea where that voice just came from. I just made it up. That's not normal for me. Let us throw off everything. How much? Everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We know that verse, right? The lie of the enemy is that he wants to tell us all that, hey, I am good. I'm good. You're good. I'm just going to do good. Well, I hadn't been exactly living right, but I'm working on it. Stop. Stop working on it. Let him work on you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Throw off the stuff that's holding you back in this race called life, and let him develop, author, and perfect your faith. Let him write the book of your faith instead of, I'm just trying to do good. Because the lie of the enemy is, I'm doing better. A few verses, a few points I want to talk about today. Are we good on this PowerPoint? Is it in a place where it can work? It used to be. When they get there, we'll be there. Let me just say, guys, you can't live in Encounter, all right? You can't live in this. And that's not really God's plan for you. The separation of your time and your life for these 3 days is important for you to come back to the reality of who Jesus is in your life. But what he wants you to do from here is he wants you to go back to reality and change your reality. Okay, change your workplace, change your family, hear from the Lord. He wants you guys to move back into that place where you came from, but you're not going to go back the same way that you were. You're going to come back as a new person because he has redefined you. So you can't live in, it's kind of like when, you know, the kids go to youth camp, it's like, man, youth camp was so powerful, I go back to my church and it's boring, it just doesn't feel the same. It's because you're not supposed to feel the same. You go and you separate yourself unto God for a season and he does something powerful in your life, but then he wants you to bring it back. He wants you to bring it back and be an active participant so that that fire and that truth is spread into other lives. You are an agent of change right where you are. Here we go, back to reality. That's what we're going to call this. We've already read that, back to reality. Number one, you're going to go back to the reality of the spirit world. We struggle with this in our Western world because we have this hard time understanding that there could be something other than what is created with atoms. You mean there's a spirit world? Yeah, the Bible talks about cherubim and seraphim, talks about demons, talks about Satan. So there is this reality of the spirit world that we will engage. We got to understand that. We're foreign to that in the Western world. We don't wrap our mind around it. But you go into the Southern Hemisphere and some of the places in Asia, and you will see that they walk in the reality of the spirit world. Number two is we got to walk with the reality of our own spiritual life. God wants us, he designed for us to be living tabernacles. And when we're born again, everything changes. He takes up residence. We begin to walk with a new reality. And the thing that we have to be careful, guys, is that we don't go back to the old way of life. The old way is called default. That's the easy way. That's what we, if we're not careful, this is what Encounter does for us. If we're not careful, we slip back into the old way, but the Lord has brought truth into our life. He's encountered us with his grace. Remember, I hit that a lot over the weekend. Grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. Both of those things work together so that you can be different, so that your default can be different. He doesn't want you to live the old way. Number three is the reality of spiritual warfare. Paul said this to the Ephesians, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we have spiritual warfare. That's what a lot of you guys talked about. You had to fight like crazy to get here this week. Yeah. That's because in I think Leslie or David, one of them said, you know, we just kind of gotten to the point now where we know when Encounter's coming, the attack is coming. And so we kind of ratchet up our faith. We let the Lord develop our faith and spend more time in prayer and fasting, hearing his heart. So we got to understand the reality of spiritual warfare. Number four, understand the reality of Christ's victory in our life. Here's the deal. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here's the deal. 2 Corinthians 8:9, though he, Jesus, was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Here's the deal. I like that phrase. I'm going to use it a lot. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Here's the deal. Galatians 4, 5. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, he died for us that whether we are awake or asleep, alive or dead, we might live together with him. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree. 1 Peter 2:24 also says, by his wounds, there you go. So understand the reality of Christ's victory in our life, and that's the reality that we want to walk in. We don't want to walk in the reality of all hell's breaking loose against me. We want to walk in the reality, hey, there is a spirit world. I am a spirit being. There is spiritual warfare, but Christ is victorious. Amen. He overcomes. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's look at early church reality. One more scripture. Well, it's a long one, but one more passage. A deep sense of awe. This is Acts 2. This is early church. I like what Maury said. I just want to be normal. This is normal. Here we go. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those who had need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship the number who were being saved. So here's what's next. Y'all ask me, well, so what's next, Rick?
What's next, Rick?
Awesome. Number one, stay free.
Yeah.
Stay free. You got to understand that when you leave this weekend, you're going to be under constant attack. Stay free. Stay free. It's backlash. The enemy always brings backlash in our lives when God does something significant in our lives. Why? Because he wants to bring you down. He wants to bring you back to that place of default. He wants to bring you back to that place where you slip into the old way. Recognize that the attack is coming. Recognize it. Number two, keep the victory. What do you do when you have doubts? What do you do when you begin to think nothing has really changed? Well, you realize that spiritual attack is from your enemy. You realize it. You recognize where the attack is coming from, and you resist. What did I just say? You realize, you recognize, and you resist. When you have doubts, you realize, you recognize where it's coming from, and you resist. What about if some new memories surface? You guys have had some powerful encounters here at this altar. What if the Lord brings something to your mind later on? Confess them, renounce them, and choose the truth. What about if I sin, Rick? What if I mess up? What if I blow it? I just wasted the whole weekend. No, you didn't. Confess it, renounce it, choose to trust the blood of Jesus to cleanse you.
Yes.
Don't go back to default. You have been, I forget which one it was that said, I've been redefined. You've been redefined. Third thing I want to encourage you to do is grow up. That sounds really like mean, but I don't really mean it. I think it's great. We all need to grow up. Number one, if you're not involved in the church, get involved with a church where you can grow as a believer. Most of you guys are involved in church. Be the best believer in your church. Be your pastor's biggest supporter. Love him. Encourage him. They need it. Pray for him. They need it. And serve in any way that you can. If you're not sure what you're supposed to be doing, then just start doing something. Put the ball in motion. You know what I'm saying? Another thing you can do is connect with others. I appreciated what I heard here about you guys have made new family members, new friends, both among one another and then also with some of the leaders. That's awesome. Keep that connection. If you're at Mountain Gap and you're not involved with a connect group, get involved with a connect group. If you got small groups at your church, get involved with a small group at your church. Another thing you can do is pray and praise every day. It'll change your heart. It'll change your attitude. Remain in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 5. You are as branch of the vine. We are to remain in the vine who is Christ. Another thing you can do is guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Take responsibility for your thought life, church. Reject the ones that are lifeless. Embrace the ones that are from the Lord and give life. Watch your thoughts. Another thing is don't drift. Stay connected to people. You need someone. You need someone to hold you accountable to help you walk through the mess of life. Sometimes it gets hard. I've got a pastor friend of mine. I spent 50 minutes with him on the phone this week. It was a really meaningful conversation. You know what? I needed it. I needed someone outside to give me some perspective. It helped me. You need that. Is that a sign of weakness? I hope you don't think so. I've got to have a relationship, guys. We all got to have a relationship. The last thing I'll say is resist the devil. Resist the devil. This is all part of growing up. Let me cover them again real quick because I went kind of quick. Get involved with the church and be the best Christian you can. Connect with others. Read your Bible daily. Pray and praise every day. Remain in Christ. Guard your thoughts. Don't drift and resist the devil. The last thing I'm going to say is this. Live boldly for Jesus. Paul said to the church in Galatians, he said, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." Amen. That's powerful. Yeah. We're called to be free. "But do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Amen. That's good. And then he goes on to tell them that they should walk in the Spirit so that the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control would be evident in their life. How do you know if someone is a mature believer? There's fruit. There's fruit. You go try to get an apple off an apple tree that's not producing apples, it's not ready. When that fruit shows up, it's reached a point of maturity where it's ready. Let that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, let those become evident in your life. Let them be fruit in your life. You're free. Free to live boldly for Jesus. We need one another. And we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is both, I guess you could say he's more than just resident. He's also, see, I hit another speed bump just then. Did y'all see that? The Holy Spirit is not only resident, but he's also president. He gets to preside over your thoughts. He gets to preside over your decisions. He gets to preside over your life. He's not there just so you can speak with tongues. Do that. It's important. We talked about that. Do that. But allow him to take complete ownership. He's your supply manager. You got a need in your life? Let him supply it. He's your supply manager. The ironic thing about being a Christian is this, is that Jesus is both our starting point and our ending point. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, he said that the aim for everything, Paul said, let me read my quote here. Paul said, and this is a paraphrase, in Ephesians 1:10, that the aim is for everything in heaven and earth to come together with Christ as the head. Everything. So Jesus is both our foundation and he's our focus. He's both our starting point and he's our goal. He's the finish line. So how does this happen? How do we live boldly for Jesus? Since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially that sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run. And let us run. And let us run. Believe in that, brother.
Yes.
And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Mm-hmm. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the champion who initiates and he perfects our faith. Will you stand together with me?
Yes.
I want to ask a very pointed question. You guys have heard a lot of powerful testimonies, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time because I realize the hour is late, but let me say this. If you're in this house of worship today, you're in the right place. And it's not an accident. But maybe there's, and I want to ask Dave and Leslie, Raymond and Susan, Mike and Susan, you guys come on up. I want to ask y'all to be just lined up across the front to pray with folks. Somebody got to go to that side now, okay? if you are in this house of worship today and there is a need in your life for prayer, I just believe the Lord wants to meet you here. I believe the Lord wants to meet you here in this place. Let me say this real clearly. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, this is a great day to meet him. In fact, it's the first day of spring, first Sunday of spring, I should say. Not first day of spring, that was a couple days ago. But it's the first Sunday of spring, it's a new day. It's also a new season. And so if Jesus is not Lord of your life, any one of these people that are standing along the front here would love to pray with you and introduce you to him.